Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. To begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. What a great, beautiful Sunday afternoon, and we are so glad you have tuned in today to Living the Good Life. We have such a great time every week coming to you from Clearwater. Actually, our church is in Dunedin, but those are next door to each other. And so we come to you every week and right at this time. So please call a friend or a neighbor right now and say, hey, why don't you tune in today to this show? So we're glad you're with us. Cricket and Kristen are here in the studio with me. And our topic today, guys, is becoming thankful. Thankful. Down in our hearts. Of course, it is, you know, turkey time, and it is Thanksgiving time around here, and that is great, and we actually had a huge, big turkey today at Beacon of Hope, so that's exciting, and a lot of food, and really feels good in the old tummy, doesn't it?
Sleepy.
Sleepy. All right, so wake up. Here we go.
Here we go.
We are thankful, and we are grateful for the food. And every year at this time, it just reminds us of the importance of Thanksgiving, of being thankful on the inside of us. I know that there was times in my life, especially as a kid, where I didn't even understand that concept. And I think as I grew older, it took a while for me to begin to understand the importance of Thanksgiving. And I'm not even talking about the holiday here. I'm talking about the whole concept of giving thanks and why God says that's important. And he does say it's important, doesn't it?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. And it's so important. It's hard to talk about today in some ways. So we're going to do our best to wrap our minds around it, and hopefully it comes out of our mouth just right. But yeah, not just the holiday with it being all about, you know, the patriotism and being thankful for our country, which we are. You know, I do believe we live in the best country in the world. Praise God that we live in a free country and have all of the things available to us that we do. But being grateful to God for all that he's done for us.
Oh, amen.
For his son and for every little thing that he does for us every single day. Being able to tap into that, that's a powerful thing, I think, that we're talking about today, to tap into that. It's a power source.
Exactly.
Tapping into gratefulness.
Well, it all comes back to our attitude.
Yes.
And how we're, basically it's the glasses that we're seeing our life through. Are we looking at our life through glasses that are grateful, or are we looking resentful and ungrateful for everything that's going on in our life? So it really comes back to our attitude and how we're then seeing our life based on what we're thinking about and the attitude that we're putting out on that.
Exactly. Right. There may be some in our radio audience today that are not feeling particularly thankful. Maybe a lot of awful things have happened recently, or maybe there's been a lot of sadness or pain, or maybe poverty, lack. There's different things. Maybe somebody out there has lost a job, or maybe somebody out there has recently had a breakup in a relationship, and they're like, wow, I don't know if I can feel grateful today at all.
That's right.
That it's just not there for me. Mm-hmm. By the end of this show, we want you to know that you're going to get some tools, some practical insight on how to change your attitude from one of negativity and feeling like, wow, it can't get much worse for me, mm-hmm. to one of, no matter what's going on in my life, I can learn to be grateful, and there is a reason why I should be that way. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah. You know, I know for me that it is such a joy to be around someone who's grateful.
Yes.
All the time.
How do they,
you know,
act?
Even more so than just a happy person.
Okay. There's a difference, huh?
Yeah, well, there is to me. It's not that there's less genuineness, but when you're around a person that's really grateful, which tend to be a little on the happy side,
right,
there's more of a realness to them. There's a more genuine than just those that are trying to put on a happy face. Not all people that are happy are putting on a happy face.
Right.
They can be genuinely happy, but there's something about that grateful person that I just enjoy being around. There's realness there with
them.
There
you go.
And they're a joy, and they feed me energy. They really do. And the way they model, you know, I find myself watching them and noticing. I hear the grateful things that they'll say, and I'm like, yeah, and it makes me think, yeah, I'm grateful for something similar or the exact same thing.
Right.
And I just really enjoy being around grateful people.
Excellent.
I really do.
Excellent idea. Let's take the opposite of that. The people that are not. How much fun are they to hang out with?
I'd rather be around a really angry person. Ungrateful is hard.
Why? Why is that hard?
Misery.
Because, it seems like they're missing so much in life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, it just brings you down if you're around somebody who's just not grateful for anything, especially if you're, we shouldn't live our lives hoping that somebody's thankful or grateful for what we've given them. But, you tend to experience that more when it's somebody that you've done something for them and they're just like, whatever.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's just, what a miserable person inside if you don't have that. But it's probably from other brokenness and things like
from brokenness.
I know for me, when I've had my ungrateful bouts, haven't you had moments where you just weren't grateful?
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe longer than
all
just a moment.
Exactly.
But, I know when I'm being ungrateful versus like an angry person or another personality thing going on that you don't really want to be around, the ungrateful, the apathy, it seems false more so than anything else. At least a really upset, angry person. Well, their point of view is, yes, those are kind of real things that they're feeling, and they're angry, even though they're going about it in a destructive way. Right. But the ungrateful thing just seems like it's just shrouded in untruth, because they're not willing to acknowledge anything that's good, and there's good all around us.
Right.
There is yuck all around us as well.
Right.
But you can stare into the mud puddle, or you can look up at the beautiful sky. Which one are you going to choose?
Exactly.
And that apathetic, ungrateful mentality is just always staring down in the bottom of the mud puddles, and it's just misery.
So you're saying it's not too much fun to be around somebody who's ungrateful, right?
Not that it's always about fun, but yes, fun.
It's not fun to be an ungrateful person. Mm-mm. And that's where my heart is. I've been through times in my life where I haven't been grateful. And actually, I went on a quest to learn to be grateful one time. It was, I'll look forward to telling you more about that later on.
Okay. I want to hear about this quest.
I did. I went through a quest, but I've been in that place where I haven't been grateful for things. But you know, it just starts with, think of the thing that you are most grateful for. If you really had to name it, it's probably a person or God or whatever it is in your life. Think about that person, because that's the where you can start. You can start by what's easiest.
Absolutely.
What's easiest to be thankful for? Well, my kids or my parents or my sister or my best friend or whatever that. Oh, take a minute and be grateful for that, because that's how you start to remember, that's what this emotion feels like. That's what this feeling is. That's what these thoughts create. And you'll start to feel, there is some joy and gratefulness.
Absolutely.
There's some goodness there.
We mentioned last week that my dad just passed away, about a week or so ago. And even though there's sadness in the fact that he's not here on this earthly plane now, and I can't just, walk into his room and say, hey, Dad, I'm just grateful for what he's done and what he's left behind, and the attitudes that he instilled in me and the love for God that he put there, which is kind of exciting. We got a great song here. I want to hear this. Kelly Clarkson is entitled Thankful. Let's listen to this, and then we're going to come back and get into the Word. So don't go anywhere. Call a friend, grab your Bible, get a notebook, and settle down in a comfy chair for a couple minutes and listen to Kelly Clarkson singing Thankful.
That I'm thankful.
All right. Thankful. All right. Then that is what we are talking about today. We're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries on this beautiful day. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you have your Bible, is a very interesting story. It's actually a passage I've preached many times through the years of my pastoring career, and it was actually the sermon I preached the very first Sunday that Beacon of Hope began in September of 2001. It's a story of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was really trying to hear from God, and he received an intelligence report saying that this huge army was coming against him and against his people of Israel, and that there was no way to run. They were coming, and they were on their way. And Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, about verse 3, was all shaken up over this. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get a bad report that the enemy's coming after me, and I mean, whatever it might be in some area of my life, whether it's finances, whether it's some discouraging word from some deal, or whatever the case may be, it's easy for in our humanness to be all shaken. And Jehoshaphat was shaken. And it says, though, I love these three words in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. It says, shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. Pretty cool. Even though he was all shaken up, he began to pray. And he went to God for help. And he got serious about needing to hear from God in the situation in which he had found himself. And as king, he was like, God, what am I supposed to do here? I hear the enemy's coming. We are going to be, you know, annihilated, whatever it was that he was feeling. And so in 2 Chronicles 20, we find that he begins to understand that no matter what happens, God is going to be with him, and that he is grateful for that very thing. And he says, in about verse 8 or 9 in your Bible of 2 Chronicles 20, when the worst happens, whether it's war or flood or disease or famine, it says, and we take our place before this temple, and we know you are personally present. He's talking to God, and he says, I know you're here with me. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what's going on, and he says, and I know that when I pray out my pain and trouble, we know that you will listen and give victory. Now, I don't know about you, but that just, boy, that just wells up in me right now as I'm even speaking these words, that no matter how bad your situation is out there today, no matter what it is you're going through, God's word says we know that when we pray out our pain and trouble, we know that you will listen and give victory. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot to be thankful for, that no matter how bad it gets, we can trust God that he will listen to us and he will bring victory. And so as the story goes on, they are the children of Israel take this whole situation very seriously, and they began to really seek God. And all of a sudden, one of the prophets speaks up and he says, don't be afraid. I'm in about verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 20. He says, don't be afraid. Don't pay any mind to what's coming at you. Now, we're going to bring this point up again in a few moments about fear. So I'm not going to make this point, Cricket and Kristen. I'm going to have us bring this up in our discussion. But I find it very interesting that God says this. Don't be afraid. Don't pay any mind to the problem. You say, wait a minute, you have no idea. This is consuming my mind. This is consuming my attention. It's all over me, this problem. And what do you mean I'm not supposed to be afraid of this situation? And he goes on to say this. The prophet says, this is God's war, not yours. Wow. No matter what it is that you are in today, God, dear friend, no matter what it is, whatever situation, you need to realize that this is God's war. It's not yours. You say, well, it feels like mine. It feels like I'm going through a very difficult time here. And how can this not be my situation? Well, it is, but God is wanting you to realize that he's in control and that he has an answer to your problem today. Take hope, take encouragement, dear listener, right this moment, no matter how hard your circumstances are, God has an answer. He tells you to not be afraid and don't pay any mind to the problem. Instead, begin to realize that this problem is not yours. It is God's. And so what continues to happen here in this passage of scripture is he goes on and he says, you're not even going to have to lift a hand in this battle. You say, wait a minute, my situation is so tough. I need to know how I can work this out and what I need to do. And God is saying to you today, and I believe this is prophetically to you that are listening, don't worry. Don't be afraid. God has an answer here. I don't know about you, but that causes me to be very grateful right this moment that no matter what it is I'm in the middle of, God sees it. He hears my prayer. He has an answer to my situation. And let's go on with this in about 2 Chronicles 20, in about verse 17. And these are the words that were spoken. You won't have to lift a hand in this battle. Just stand firm. Now, I believe that we are called to stand firm in the area of gratefulness. I throw that out to you today. I believe that what God is saying is stand firm in the knowledge that I see your situation, I hear your prayers, I have the answer. Stand firm and don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to overtake you. Just stand firm. Stand firm in your gratefulness. You say, but I don't feel very grateful. And hopefully by the next few moments, you're going to realize the reasons why you should take on an attitude of thanksgiving, or a lot of people call it at this time of year, attitude of gratitude. There is a reason for that. And God goes on to tell him, go ahead and do the marching. Know that God is with you. Do what I tell you to do. So Jehoshaphat kneels down. I'm in verse 18. And he kneels down and he bows his face to the ground. And all Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God. You know what happens when you as a leader begin to say, maybe a leader in your own home, maybe a leader in your church, maybe a leader in a little friendship group that you have, but whatever you are, maybe a leader with your spouse, and you say, wait a minute, I am not going to give in to fear. I am not going to give in to stinking thinking. I'm not going to give in to worrying about what might happen, but instead I am going to begin to bow my face to the ground. I'm going to look to God and I am going to say, God, I know that you have an answer. Therefore, my heart can be grateful before I see the answer. This is something that I teach at Beacon of Hope because I have lived it for so many years. You learn to develop an attitude of thanking God and being grateful for the answer before you see it. You say, well, wait a minute. How can I be grateful for something I haven't even seen? How can I be grateful? Maybe God's not going to come through for me this time. It is based on what you know about God and his precious word. And Jehoshaphat had everybody stand to their feet and praise God before the enemy even arrived. You say, wait a minute. Why would they praise God? Because they're just getting ready to get killed and annihilated. And Jehoshaphat said to them, everybody on your feet, begin to praise God. And they praised, and I am in the verse 19 of 2 Chronicles 20. My Bible in the Message Bible says this, they praised at the top of their lungs. It does not say that they praised wimpily. It does not say that they barely could utter some praise. It says they praised at the top of their lungs. Now, that's getting involved in it. That is getting involved in your gratitude. That's not just having a little tiny corner of your heart where you're grateful. That's having your whole heart sold out to gratefulness. That is having your whole heart sold out to praising God. And at the top of their lungs, they were uttering these words. And then they were up early the next morning. And they were ready to do what God told them to do. And I'm now in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 20. After talking it over with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God. You say, a choir? Why wasn't he getting all the machine guns and all the... I don't even know what names of these guns are because I'm not a gun person. All right, a 357 Magnum or whatever. Whatever.
All right, Dirty Harry.
Yeah, whatever. Why weren't they assembling all their ammunition? Why weren't they loading up the cannons? Why weren't they being more concerned about the weapons? You know what Jehoshaphat did? He did what God told him to do. And God said this, get a choir together. dressed in holy robes. And that, in fact, make them look nice. You know, get them all dressed up and make them pretty. Okay? And I think for me, that would have been, you know, a really nice new shirt from Gap or whatever. Okay. And they were to march ahead of the troops and they were to sing two lines. Now, this is incredible. They were to sing only two things. They were not to sing, "Oh God, where are you? Help, help, help." They were not to bellyache and cry and fuss. And they were not to be just all bent out of shape over the army that was coming at them. They were not to be out there crying, "Oh God, where are you?" They were instead supposed to, how's your earphones, girls? They were instead supposed to sing two lines. Give thanks to God, His love never quits. And as soon as they started shouting and praising, God set ambushes against the enemy, and they got so confused. I'm in verse 23. They went at each other and all ended up killed. Praise confuses the enemy. Gratitude confuses Satan. He does not expect it out of you, dear one. He does not expect you to be grateful. God said for them to give thanks to God, His love never quits. I'm going to say it one more time. Give thanks to God, His love never quits. Two lines. Say it with me. Give thanks to God, His love never quits. That is what God told them to do. And when they obeyed, the enemy ran away and killed each other. Whoa, that is powerful stuff. We got something to talk about here, Cricket and Kristen. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend.
Are you broke? I don't know about you, but it seems to me around the holidays, I often hear the phrase, "I'm broke." There are many signs of being broke. Counting the days to your next paycheck as you log into your ever-declining bank balance. Or maybe emotionally, you have a breakdown every time you actually find a moment to pull out of the rat race we're all in. Or is it your body? Is it so broken down you can't get up without swearing at the aches and pains? Maybe you're someone who can't trust anymore because of all the breakups. Whether you're broke, had a breakdown, your body is broken down, or you've had a breakup, why not find a little hope this holiday season? A little hope on Sundays at 11 a.m. Beacon of Hope, 1812 Main Street, Dunedin. Are you broke? Beacon of Hope Ministries. Check us out at www.beaconofhopeministries.com.
All righty then. I love that. Are you broke? Whatever's going on in your life. And that goes right along with our topic today, doesn't it, guys? I'm here in the studio with Cricket and Kristen's Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida.
That theme kind of
exciting place to be.
That theme kind of goes with a lot of things.
Yes.
It sure does. It sure does because we are broken people in a broken world. And I am thankful and grateful to God that He sent a perfect Savior,
Amen.
An unbroken Savior that
praise God
did break Himself for us,
woo.
But came back from the grave, overcame death,
Amen.
And lives fully inside of all of us that have accepted
yes.
His gift of salvation today. It's an awesome thing to be thankful for.
Amen. So you're thankful for salvation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. All right, guys, and this story, it's so interesting because, yes, we talk about the topic ahead of time and we know a general idea of where we're going with the radio show and we've prayed about it, but as we sat down today, I had my Bible open to 2 Chronicles 20 because I knew that's where I was going to start to teach, and Kristen looked across the table at me and said, "My Bible's open to 2 Chronicles," and I said, "Really? So is mine," and she was on the very same page. That's pretty good because we know God's got a word, a fresh word for people out there, and it is this very concept that instead of looking at the situation, the way the enemy is bringing it at us, God says, take heart, take hope. Don't worry about what might happen. Instead, give thanks to God for His love never quits.
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, but it's really important, so listen up.
Okay.
You make bigger what you pay attention to.
Oh, it's so true.
And mm-hmm. it said, don't be afraid. Don't pay attention to the problem.
Amen.
God said that in that.
Good point.
You make bigger what you pay attention to. So if you're paying attention to God, that's mm-hmm. God's going to be bring that great bigness into your life. His victory is going to come into your
Amen.
Life. If you're pouring all your attention and paying attention to the problems in your life, that's what's going to get bigger, is the problems, because it's going to consume more of your mind and more of your emotions and more of your worry, and then your health's going to start, you know, it. But we make bigger what we pay attention to. So you got to train. It really is. It comes back to training yourself, training
Amen.
Your heart, training your mind, and training your mouth.
Yes.
There's three very important things: your mouth, your heart, your mind. I said
that's
them in different
good.
Order.
That's good. Yeah.
We got to train mouth. Them to be grateful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And right now we're kind of talking about all the benefits that you can get out of that come to you when you're grateful, because
right.
you do see the victories in your life and they're wonderful things, and you feel different when you're grateful. It's mm-hmm. good to be grateful. You make that bigger. You make whatever you're saying, oh, thank you, that's swelling up in your heart. It's the focus of your mind, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting a more prominent part of your life than all the worries and trials.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, I know as people that follow after Jesus say a lot of words that don't always make sense to people, like it transforms you, or, you know, it's miraculous, it's spiritual, and all this stuff. This topic, I can just tell you, if you try it even slightly, you will feel a transformation. It's that powerful. It's that cool, designed by God, that you will experience a change immediately. And I think, you know, Kristen tapped on something when she was talking earlier, that she said, start from easiest to the hardest thing. Start with the easiest things to be grateful for. Because why would we start there? Well, first of all, we can believe those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in 2 Chronicles here, I didn't write down where it was, but there was a verse that said, we know that you will listen and give victory.
Amen.
And the word that jumps off the page for me is no. We know that you will listen and
Verse
give victory.
Nine.
If
yes.
you don't know that God's going to do it for you, or know that he has your best interest, know that he's taking care of you and he's not going to allow you to die from anything, then if you don't know that, then how can you hang your hat on it? How can
right.
you have to believe. That's why I think Kristen's profound first sentence, this seems so simple, start with easiest to hardest, is because you need to start with things you currently, right now, believe.
Right.
You believe that you can be grateful for them and know it, and then you can do exactly what she said, train and add on. You know, you take a spiritual inventory. I know whenever I start working out, which I need to start doing, we do a physical inventory, don't we?
We kind of,
you know, lay in bed the night before when you're feeling miserable. I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to do this or that. You kind of do a quick inventory in your head of where you are, what you're willing to do.
Right.
What can you do that's more than you're currently doing? And usually that starts off with walking.
Right, exactly.
Something simple, right?
Right.
And that's because you have to start where you're at. You know, really, this whole Christian walk is about where you are right now.
Right.
It's not about becoming light years ahead. I mean, we eventually will grow. There's no doubt about it. If you follow after Jesus every day, you follow after God's plan, you will transform over time. But there are things that we can do today that is transforming. But they are simple and small things to give that place to hang your hat, to give that
exactly.
meat to chew on, get that little bit of meat off the bone. You know, you need something real for now.
Okay, so we've got somebody in our listening audience out there that says, I can't think of anything to be grateful about.
Mm.
I don't even know why life is, you know, giving me all these lemons. And I know everybody says make lemonade, but
that's easy to say.
That's easy to say, but
right.
Yeah, Kristen.
Well, let's look at, first of all, what we're just read about, that they're sitting here and they're going to be attacked. I mean, can we really imagine what it's like to have an army coming towards us and they're going to come and attack us and kill us? And
right.
oh my goodness, think about a time that you feel like there's nothing to be grateful for.
Right.
And it when I told you I trained to become a grateful person, and I really did. I went through a time that
I want to hear about that.
Well, I was actually listening to Tony Robbins, you know who he
yes,
is at the time.
Yes.
I was back when I
that great big tall guy.
Yeah, great
yep.
big giant
motivational
guy. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Motivational
and
guy.
He talks about I can't remember exactly what he calls it, but it's an hour of power, and but I called it my grateful walk. And the whole time I was walking, I would take a walk, and the whole time the only thing I could talk about or think about or say, and I would say it out loud even though people
wow.
would look at me strange, is all the things I'm grateful for. And I remember that first day walking down my three flights of stairs in California, and started walking, and I was on a sidewalk and there's trees lining the sidewalk. I'm like, okay, I'm grateful for the trees, and I'm grateful for the beautiful beautiful sky above, and I'm grateful that I have a house and a place to live, and I'm thankful that I have a spouse, and I'm thankful. And I just started
there
with
you go.
The things that I have. I kind of went back to basis. Okay, I have food. There's people in this world that
don't have food.
I'm right. thankful that I have food. I'm thankful that you know, I've got shoes to walk in. And I mean, just the simplest things, the things that we just take so much for granted for
right.
living here. And I mean, I read recently that we're in like the top 8% as far as wealth. Even
right.
the lower class here in America is in the top 8% as far as wealth. I probably have
right.
those numbers all wrong, but
I think you're close. It's of the entire world.
Of the entire world.
Yeah.
So we 8%. Have so much more here
right.
than we do anywhere else. And it's not all about what we have though, but it's a great place to start. I mean, and then you start, when you start focusing on God and what, how much he loves you. But if you're not there yet, that's okay. Start with what you do have.
There you go.
And you start realizing, oh, I have a pretty blessed life. I have some cool things in my life. I have somebody that loves me. I might have a horrible relationship over here, but this person loves me, and I'm thankful for that.
I have a friend or
right.
a mom or a dad
right.
or a relative
Sister.
That cares about whether or not I exist.
Right.
You know?
And whatever your trouble is,
right.
If you don't have a job right now, it's going to feel like, I don't have a job to be thankful for. I don't
right.
have money to buy food. I don't know where I'm going to live if I don't get another job, whatever your situation is. But that's the time you can say, okay, I've had a job, and I'm thankful that I had that all that whole past year that I worked.
Right.
You know, I'm thankful that I have had a meal. I'm thankful that I have a place to sleep right now.
So you're saying step one, start somewhere,
right?
right? Mm-hmm. Be grateful
exactly.
for
start
something.
Start somewhere.
Why is this so important? Why did God not say in this passage, you know, instead of give thanks to God, why didn't he just say, let's quote 14 memory verses right here. Why did he make it that simple? Give thanks to God. What is the power behind Thanksgiving? That is what I want to ask you, Cricket. I'm putting you on
Gosh,
the spot.
That's a really hard
what
question.
What is the power behind it? What does it do to us? I mean, Kristen, that is excellent. That's where we start. We start somewhere, mm-hmm. okay? We start with whatever we can be grateful for. And everybody out here listening to us today, you got to be grateful for something. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a junky old car, you got a car.
That's right. Well, you know, I think a lot of things happen when we're grateful, and God designed that to release certain things inside of us. Humbleness is very important to God, and you cannot be humble unless you thank.
Oh,
you're
that's
thankful
good.
for what you have or have been given to you or done for you or is going to be done for you.
Right.
If you can't be humble unless you are thankful.
Okay.
Also, you know, Kristen's talking about Tony Robbins. One thing that Tony said during that whatever CD we were listening to that got us interested in starting to take those walks, and Kristen did it more than I did, but I was obviously better at being grateful, I suppose. Just kidding. I need to work on humble, obviously.
Really?
He would talk about how you cannot be filled with fear. You cannot feel fear.
Okay.
And gratefulness at the same time. And I thought,
say that again.
That's very interesting. You can't feel fearful and grateful at the same time.
Why not?
I don't know exactly why. It's
okay.
almost magical,
okay.
you know, miraculous.
Miraculous.
But it is true. His point is, if you start listing, you know, you're overwhelmed with stress, you're worried about things that are happening, financial, blah, blah, whatever. Whatever's
and
going on.
You're afraid of what
and
might
you
happen.
Have fear in you. You have stress. You have worry on you.
Right.
If you start verbalizing your thankfulness, what you are grateful for, it seems to rinse the fear away. And it really does work.
Cool.
The very first time we went out for our very first walk, I thought, well, let's test this because I'm feeling stressed and worried about life. I didn't like my job. I was not making the money that I wanted to be making. Kristen currently wasn't working. And we did not want to stay in California. The economy was outrageous and it was draining us. We didn't have a church we loved. We were far away from family. Could I go on and on? Probably.
Wow.
But we were feeling all of these things times 10.
Right.
And we went out on that walk, and we did start very simple with trees and birds and sky and grass. And this isn't a neighborhood to walk in, and we both have tennis shoes to wear to be comfortable.
There
you know,
you
just
go.
These real simplistic, elementary, mm-hmm. minimal type things. And
Great.
Within just a few moments, I checked in with my fear barometer and was like, I don't feel stressed about things. Okay. You know, it's like I get my eyes off myself.
There you go.
You know, anytime we can get off self, that's right. You know, it's a place to be. I don't care how much you're giving of yourself. You know, my dad, bless his heart, has always not been the best example. Luckily, I had a good one that was a better example of encouraging us to, you know, look to other people. My dad always was a little bit more, you know, you got to watch out for number one. You got to watch out for yourself.
Right, yeah.
You're going to, you know, you can't let people victimize. You're going to be a victim. Don't let people take advantage of you. And so I got a little bit of a mix of that inside of me where I have to, you know, and I need to lean toward my mom's opinions a little bit more because anytime I'm absorbed in looking out for number one or worrying about me, I get myself in all kinds of yuck and mess and trouble. But when I really overly give to other people, I could give everything. I don't see how I could really go wrong. Maybe I wouldn't still have a house. Maybe I wouldn't have a car. Maybe I would give away almost all my clothes. Maybe but what would be going on in the inside of me? Would I not be some crazy, incredible person really relying on God in a way that I have not achieved, obviously? But can you really give too much to other people? I mean, there's healthy. Don't get me wrong. It's not like you can give of yourself in an unhealthy way and overcompensate for things with other people. But truly, pouring love out and making an effort when you go to the grocery store, you're pumping gas, or you're at your church and you're around your church family or your friends, and you really just don't, it's not about the conversation you want to have. You want to find out how they're doing, and you want to make sure they know that they're loved by you before they leave your house that night when you play cards.
Exactly.
Whatever it is. Could that ever go wrong? I don't think it
could. Well, you just said a concept and a word you just kept saying was giving.
Giving.
Mm-hmm. And in this verse in 2 Chronicles 20, what God told Jehoshaphat to tell the people was, give thanks to God. There's that word give again.
Yep.
So that coming from you. Okay. It's not just a statement. Oh, thank you, God. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, it's that giving of thanks comes out of you. I think a lot of times when we say prayers before a meal, a lot of us for years have grown up praying before meals. I did in my home.
Right.
And a lot of times we called that giving thanks, but a lot of times it was just rote memory or it was
ritualistic
I gotta do this, thank you God for this food, amen. In fact, it's a joke in our family, but a few years back when I was cooking, believe it or not, my daughter Lori and her son Levi and his dad Wayne were at my house, and I was cooking and I had put everything on the table, and I wanted everything to stay hot, you know, and hurry up and let's get this food on the, you know, and and we started to eat, and my grandson said, oh, we have a right. And I said, oh, you're right, Levi, you're right. Because I was just talking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I thank you, Lord, amen. And for this food, amen. And he looked up and he says, Nana, that was a half prayer. And
maybe
it,
a prayer.
You know, it was, I mean, it was like, it was, I did it just to get it done. I'm saying, and it's always remained kind of a joke in the family. That's a half prayer because, you know, thank you, Lord, amen.
Well, our words are so important. They are. They're important, but we can give things lip service. We can say things and not have it
come
from
our
heart. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's what it is. You got to connect that time to actually think about what you're saying and actually experience that feeling of gratefulness. It's more than just, I mean, we can say thank you to people and think, why did they give that to me? I really don't want that. Or we can say, thank you. And wow, that was really giving of them. Even though I might not like this gift, I'm really thankful that they cared enough to give me a gift. You know,
exactly.
You know, it's all in your attitude.
It's the attitude.
It is. It's in the attitude.
It's like that white elephant Christmas thing we do at Beacon of Hope, where we have this
talk about that.
And we give nasty gifts to each other. I mean, not nasty.
Don't
I don't mean
ask
it that way.
About the rabbit.
They're undesirable.
Right. Undesirable. They are things
gifts.
That we
They're
didn't
stupid.
Want to keep. But we always have so much fun at that time.
That's
because
true.
It's just the act of giving, right? And these guys here in this story, they were, I believe, as they just started saying this over and over again, give thanks to God for his love never quits. It's the second part of that gave them the reason to give God
That's
thanks, right.
right? That's right.
His love never quits. Out there in our listening audience today, my tongue got all tied up. No matter what your circumstances are, here's the good news. God loves you.
Yes.
God loves you. And that is the essence of the whole thing.
I really think
it?
I think it is. I think
God
love,
loves you.
I think love has everything to do with grateful.
Yes.
You know, we talked about in the car, how do you tell someone to be grateful, or where does it come from, or where is it modeled, or where does it come from? And I think it comes from love.
Yes.
Somehow it comes from love. Like, you know, teenagers Kristen talked earlier today about how teenagers just are the worst at showing any kind of, they're so not grateful for anything.
Some, let's not stereotype completely.
You're right, but most, I know I was a terribly ungrateful teenager when I was growing up, and I'd hear it from my dad. Until I got out of my teens and realized the world around me, I realized how wonderful my parents are, and how, and, you know, I realized, but, you know, I wasn't abused, I wasn't, they took care of me, they bought me clothes, they gave me money when
they
I needed
put up
money.
With
they,
you, Cricket,
they put up with
mouth.
Me. You're right. They yeah. really did. Luckily, they're mouthy too, so we yeah. all get along pretty good. But you know, it's their love,
right? It's
that
the
they extended to me, and it's the love
yes.
that God has. You know, the gift of salvation and
yes.
everything He does. It's because He loves me.
Because He loves
It's not
us.
That He's
yes.
just filling the earth with things.
Right.
He's not just filling this globe and other planets with stuff because He's bored.
Right.
He loves us.
He does.
We're like His children.
Amen.
And He
His
loves
children.
Us so... Yes, we're not like. We are. And He loves us so much that He has made all these things happen over time to make things better for us and for Him, and to bridge our relationship so we can be closer to Him and speak to Him more directly. And
exactly.
It's all because of love. It's all because of love.
So as we go to this next song, Beyond Measure by Jeremy Camp, here's the thing that we want to leave you with, and don't go anywhere because we're coming right back. Can you give God thanks right now because He loves you so very much?
It's finally clear to see the beautiful life you've given me. I feel the breeze in my newborn's gentle breath. With one, two, walk hand in hand to share this life that you have planned. It's like a storybook with dreams that are meant to see. Every next step is an extraordinary scene. I come alive when I see beyond my fears. I know that I've been given more than earthly treasure. I come alive when I've broken down and given you control. I faced a great tragedy, but I've seen the works of what you bring. A display of faith that you give. I don't know if I will ever understand the depth of what it is you've done inside, but I know I won't find.
Praise God. God's got an answer for what's going on in your life today. You are listening to Living the Good Life, coming to you every week at this time on this station, and we're excited to be here with you. It's Pastor Marcia McAllister. If you have your Bible, I'm going back to 1 Peter chapter 2 for a moment, And we've been talking about the need to learn to give thanks to God, because that is what this season is all about. And it's, if it weren't even this season, it is what we need to be learning to do on a daily basis. And that is learning to change our attitude from one of despair, one of fear, one of anxiety, one of depression, to one of gratefulness to God, because His love never quits. That's what we've been talking about today from 2 Chronicles 20. God's love never quits. So to you out there today, I would say this: God loves you so much more than you can even possibly imagine. You are so special to Him. He created you in your mother's womb. He has a reason for your life here on this earth. He has a plan for you. And it is time for us to learn to adjust our attitudes and accept the love that God has for us, and learn to be grateful, grateful for His love and grateful for the people that He puts in our lives. Because God does do that. He puts certain people in your life so that you can change, perhaps. And sometimes certain people kind of maybe rub you the wrong way, and you have to learn how to be grateful for that person in your life, or grateful for what that person brings into your life. Maybe grateful for a job that isn't ideal, or grateful for a relationship that you wish were a little different. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I find this very interesting here. Peter was always big about teaching concepts about our attitude. And I think one of those reasons is because Peter had a trouble sometimes with his attitude. And Peter is known as being impulsive and kind of quick to fly off the handle and kind of angry. And so I love it when, by the time he writes these books, 1st and 2nd Peter, he's learned a great deal. And so he starts chapter 2 of 1st Peter with this: "So clean house." I've been doing that lately. I've been doing this fall cleaning. Boy, that's fun. I love to find little bugs and critters and, you know, little cobwebs and little stuff that needs to get out of there, because, and I love to have the carpet clean and the windows clean and all that. But so much more, our insides need to be cleaned up. Peter says to us, clean house, make a clean sweep of malice. Malice has to do with hatred. It has to do with bad attitude. It has to do with resentment. It has to do with things that really shouldn't be in our hearts. And he goes on to say, and pretense. That's when you're acting haughty or whatever you might be, arrogant or whatever. Peter says, let's make a clean sweep of those things. Envy. When we're sitting around wanting what somebody else has instead of being grateful for what God has given us. Peter says, let's make a clean sweep of malice, pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. If we quit talking yucky to people, you know, with a lot of hurt or anger or resentment, if we quit coming across that way, we are going to be so much more inclined to attract people to us. People don't want to hang around with people that are full of malice, pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. No, do you know, it's so much more fun. And Cricket and Kristen, I want to talk about this in a minute. Of what that does when we surround ourselves with people who are grateful. You know what it tends to do? It tends to make you grateful. It does. If you hang out with people who are constantly negative, I'm a realtor also, besides being a pastor, and I can tell you that when I hang out with people who are talking about how bad the market is, then I begin to start thinking that I'm never going to sell a house again. It's never going to change. Oh, it's going down the tube. I mean, this economy, blah, blah, blah. And I can go down that path, and I can start thinking that, and that is stinking thinking. Okay? And being grateful is, God, I thank you for the houses I have sold this year. Not as many, but I thank you for every single one I did. I thank you for the ones that I'm getting ready to sell in the next few days or the next few weeks. Hopefully it'll be in the next few days. But anyway, we begin to be grateful for what God has given us. And then it says, we become like infants, and we begin to learn to drink deep of God's pure kindness. Guys, I don't know about you, but I grew up with a wonderful father, earthly father, that showed me kindness and showed me love on this earth. But a lot of people on this earth have not grown up with that. And so they don't see God as being kind. A lot of people picture God with this great big old club up in the heavens, and he's getting ready to just whop you over the head for being bad or for doing this or having a bad attitude. And that is not the attitude of God. We need to be grateful today that we serve a living God who is kind, who is merciful, who loves us just the way we are. And when we're nasty, when we're mean, when we got a bad attitude, he still loves us. And he says, come to me. I'm kind. I'm going to put my arms around you. I'm going to hold you. And I'm going to show you how much I love you. How important is this concept from 2 Chronicles? It carries over here to 1 Peter, where in 2 Chronicles, God said to Jehoshaphat, tell the people, give thanks to God. It's not if they feel like it. If they feel like it, tell them they can give thanks. If they, you know, if they're right in the right mood right now to thank God, that's okay. If they don't feel like it, that's all right. No, he doesn't say that. It's very simple, that verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Give thanks to God. His love never quits. That's very, very direct and straight to the point. Give thanks to God. His love never quits. Peter carries it across here into the New Testament, where he says we need to drink deep of God's pure kindness. I'm in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2. We need to drink deep of God's pure kindness. In other words, we need to absorb that within us. Take that in, that God is kind, he is gentle, he is loving, he's a comforter, he's a God of peace, he's a God that loves us just the way we are. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. When do you begin to mature and grow up? When you begin to see God for who he really is. And when you begin to see God for who he really is, you become grateful because you go, whoa, I don't serve an idol over here, a piece of cement or a wood statue. I serve a living God whose very nature is love and kindness. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. It doesn't say God is vengeful. It doesn't say God is out to get you. It doesn't say God is setting you up for so he can just knock you down. It doesn't say God is out there to see how miserable he can make you. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. And Peter says, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Wow. That is what it's all about. When we begin to understand that, I'm going to go down to verse 9 a moment. But you are the ones chosen by God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're chosen by God, dear one, for a reason. You are chosen to be a conduit of his love and his kindness and his mercy and his grace. You are chosen to be one of those that learns how to give thanks and to teach others how to be grateful. You are chosen by God to be one of those that is so grateful that people run to you and they want to hang out with you. Why do they want to hang out with you? Because your gratefulness spills out. It just comes out of your pores. It just comes out of you. It comes out of you. Okay? You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling, a priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, chosen God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, and to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. That is God's plan for you. He wants you to understand that he loves you so much that you have something to be grateful for, his great love. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place. We're gonna dance in the river.
We're gonna dance in the river. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we encourage you to come and visit Beacon of Hope sometime. We have a great time, don't we, Cricket and Kristen? We're wild. We got some great music, and people love to worship God and have a good time. On Wednesday
night.
We're
not so wild.
We're not that wild. I guess by wild, I mean we have a good time worshiping God. We really do. And people get into that. And as we begin to sing and praise God, it does cause that gratefulness to well up within us, doesn't it?
Sure does.
As we're worshiping God. All right. What'd you hear, girls? Let's talk about this. This gratefulness. It's not something that's that easy for a lot of people to do on a daily basis.
Well, it's not. You know, I think the first line of First Peter chapter 2.
There we go.
It's so easy to flip that around. Mm-hmm. Right where he says, clean house, make clean sweep, malice, pretense, throw these things out, envy, hurting, talk. You talked about others, but I think it starts with ourselves.
Oh, it does.
The hurtful talk, I think, starts immediately with ourselves. How much junk do we tell ourselves how crummy we are?
Oh, there you go.
How
That's
often are we telling ourselves we can't accomplish this? I'm never going to save enough money to do this. I'm never going to get a better job. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be able to have a better attitude. I'm never going to be able to fix that broken relationship between me and a sibling or a parent. The junk that we play, those records and those tapes in our heads, mm-hmm. of the things that we failed in the past.
Right.
You know, that's the whole point of grace and mercy. I know that there is some recollection in our minds to help us not to redo the exact same circumstances over and over, but we need to rely much more on God's grace than always, quote unquote, learning our lesson necessarily.
Right.
I think there's so much more to learn from grace and understanding God loves me and all I have. You know, when you say, forgive me, Lord, for this. I do believe he takes not only just that stuff that we did, you know, the occurrence that happened, but I think he takes a part of our desire to do it again with
right.
it. You know, as many times as we keep saying, Lord, forgive me for this, and that's how you spiritually keep in check. You know,
right.
you come and you confess things that you're struggling with to God, and you talk to him like he's the best counselor ever, and he's your best friend, and he's the love of your life all at the same time, and you can just bare your soul. He takes parts of our struggles with the freedom of the forgiveness, as well as, you know, just the sin act that happened or whatever we failed at in the past, and he gets rid of it and he forgets it. The word tells us he forgets that. He doesn't
Amen.
Dwell on it. Why do we then dwell on it? We're just doing ourselves demise
right.
by continuing to rerun those crummy
That's
thoughts.
That hurtful talk
right.
you're talking about.
And how will we ever talk kindly and lovingly like Jesus did to others if we can't do it to ourselves? Because you have to practice on someone. Well, I'm
right.
always with me, so I'm a good practice person. I'll practice on me. And that's really hard for many of us, I think.
Right. I think it is, too.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So much of this of being grateful, I think, is living in the present. We are so good at either living in the past and looking at all my mistakes or looking at that person's mistakes.
That's
or,
a good point,
or
Kristen.
Something like that.
Yes.
Or looking to the future and looking at all the things that I want changed in my life.
Oh, that's excellent.
I want this changed. I want that changed. Hey, husband, wife, could you change this about you too? Hey, daughter,
yeah.
can you change this?
Right.
I need you to change these things because you're bugging me. We're focused
right.
on all those things that we want changed or we would like to be able to change about the past. But gratefulness takes you to today.
Right.
It takes you to right now where you're at and wow, what do I have to be thankful for? It takes you to this current moment and appreciating it so that in the future you can look back on it and it's a good moment and not a bad moment where you were just spinning your wheels waiting for something to change.
Right.
So that is what gratefulness does. It takes you to today and to that very moment. And if we can springboard from
onto
relationships, because you kind of touched on this.
Okay.
But I know that in any relationship, it's just so easy with my wife, with whoever, to want things to change, want things to be different. Can't you do this different? Can't you be more like me here? You know?
Right.
But when you start to be grateful for who that person is.
Yes.
I'm the one that needs to do this more and more too. But when you take the time to be grateful
exactly.
in all these little moments, that's when it inspires them to be more of who they're supposed to be. It inspires them to be just like we were talking about, when you're around grateful people, you want to be grateful.
You want to be grateful.
It just, it's a loving thing to do, to be grateful or to be thankful or appreciate somebody or show them your gratitude, show them, you know, that they make you happy. That step, just, it's an encouragement to people. Mm-hmm. It's an encouragement to hear thank you.
I think that's one reason people love to be around grateful people, because yes. it feels good, mm-hmm. right? It
genuine.
Feels better. Genuine.
Genuine, yeah. Absolutely. That's important. Because I know sometimes when we're trying to overcome relational things, we can get in a habit of, okay, I'm just going to say I'm grateful for things that might not exist. I don't recommend that, because right. then they're going to get resentful that you're trying to change them and manipulate them by right. being grateful for right. me not doing the things you want me to be.
It's from the
it's
heart.
Real. It's real, real grateful things yeah. that turns that tide. And it really does. It really does open a new door. It really does change.
Okay, so we've been saying here today that we can start somewhere very small, mm-hmm. Whatever. If it's thank you, Lord, for the trees. Thank you for the beach. Thank you for the water, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. Thank you for my kayak. Yes, thank you, Lord. And
you sound like big things.
No, I just love to be out there on the water. It's not a speedboat yes. and it's not a yacht, but mm-hmm. it's a little tiny boat, but it gets me out there, and I get out there by the dolphins and everything, and I feel so grateful when the birds mm. are flying around, and it's just incredible what it does. So you're saying things like that start somewhere, mm-hmm. right? And then you begin to realize that God loves you so much, that he created all that for you. Mm-hmm. And so then you can go into the gratefulness of God. I'm so grateful that you love me and care about the details of my life. And no matter what I'm going through, you are there to help me through that situation. So you begin to get an appreciation for God and his nature, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, we can walk around and say, oh, I'm grateful this, I'm grateful for this. We can say grateful things. And then we can actually enter into a conversation with God about it.
There you go. That's
and
different, isn't
it? And I don't know.
Talk about that.
If you've been away from God for a while, or you don't know how to open up a prayer, or you don't even know what to say, starting out with some gratefulness is a wonderful way to get started.
Yes.
Just to stop. I mean, we're really talking about taking some time to invest in your relationship with God, to invest in yourself and your life, and to improve the lives of the people around you too, because you're taking time to improve yourself and improve your relationship with God.
Yes.
And when you start with that gratefulness, when you start there, it opens up the conversation.
God like it when you are grateful?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Considering he told us to do it. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage people. I mean, we are talking about taking some time to do, and it can be on the fly, but if you actually take, I mean, it can be while you're driving the car, you know.
Sure.
You can do this anywhere, but if you actually take some time and sit down someplace and turn off the TV and or go to the park or go for a walk or sit by the water or whatever you like to do to get away and really focus on this, it's like going to a spa. You know,
you go
to a spa to relax, to let go of the stress of your life, to just unwind, to loosen up your muscles, and to refocus. And so when you walk out rejuvenated, you feel fresh again. Mm-hmm. That's what this is like. I mean, you can do it just in the bustle of your day, but if you actually take 5 minutes, a half an hour, I don't care what. But if you take, say, I'm going to go do this for a minute and just give it a try.
It works, doesn't it?
It does. It
well,
really
I
works.
Think it's a spiritual massage.
There you go.
You know, you said the spa thing, and I think it really is. Of all things that I can do, you know, Jesus showed us how to pray, and he broke it down into four parts. And one of those parts was thankfulness, gratefulness.
Yes.
And if that kind of tells me a quarter of my time in conversation with God should be about prayer. Now, for those that don't do a lot of praying yet and aren't doing a whole lot of that, start with grateful. That's a good place to start. The other parts can come later. I think that's a great place to begin. For those of us that are praying a lot and do it daily or, you know, several times a week or whatever, think about that quarter of that time should be on grateful. How much time do we spend thanking God for things? Do we
spend a lot of time asking God for things?
30 seconds, and then the other four hours are. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's obviously very, very, very important. And I, you know, to take this to a little deeper of a level.
Go ahead.
And take it up a notch, if you will, whatever that cooking Cajun guy says. Yes, exactly.
Emerald.
Let's take it up. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's talk about being grateful perhaps for things that wouldn't occur to be grateful for, such as difficulties we're going through.
Right.
And not being grateful just for, which this is good too. It is good to be grateful for what we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Just like in 2 Chronicles. It is good to say in advance, God, I thank you that you're working this out, that I am, you know, going to get this job promotion that I'm interviewing for, whatever advanced thing that is in your life. But what about the moment that you're currently in, while you're in the trial, while you're in the training session, to be actually grateful for that? Now, wouldn't that be a transforming way if we could truly mean that and start
And we can
being
only
thankful?
Do that when we realize that God loves us so much that
right.
the outcome of that trial he is going to cause to be good in
right.
our life.
Right.
Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things
yes.
to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So
that's
when
right.
we know that, we can be, say, God, this is a terrible thing I'm going through right now, but let me tell you, I am grateful because you are doing something in me that I realize can only be done by me going through this trial,
mm-hmm.
as hard as this may be.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, about that. Sometimes back in the day, I would hear that scripture you just quoted, and I think, oh, that's for pastors because it's according to his purpose, and that's for pastors
right.
and people like that. No, we are all called to his
we
purpose.
Are all called.
If we accept Jesus, we're now on his purpose. And to be quite honest, you're on his called to his purpose before you even do that. He just wants you to do that to get the kickstart going. So it's not just for leadership and pastors and big teachers of the word. It's for all of us. We all have a place in the kingdom
exactly.
of God. To do what it is he's designed us to do, and not everybody's to stand behind a pulpit or up on stage.
Right.
There's many more people off the stage than there is doing major work for God than the few of us that are up on the stage in front.
Exactly.
So keep that in mind when you're thinking about that. And another thing, back in 2 Chronicles, and it kind of ties into what I was saying a few minutes ago, but believe in God's way more than ours. Was kind of touched on in 2 Chronicles.
Right.
Believe that he is going to bring the victory of this. It's his war, not
right.
ours.
Right.
It's his war, not ours. And if we start really believing God's outcome is better than... Because I know a lot of times when I pray, I will thank him in advance for what it is that I want the outcome to be. And that
right.
always doesn't happen.
Right.
My outcome is not always God's plan.
Exactly.
But I have learned... Luckily, the majority of the time, I know in my heart that God's plan is better than my plan.
Right.
And I can give that flexibility. I'm so gracious. I can give him that flexibility in my prayers of knowing and saying to him, God, I thank you for this outcome that you're going to provide this, da, 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 da. And even if it's not that, Lord, I know that your outcome is even more powerful. Rather, earthly eyes, it looks more powerful, whatnot. Spiritually, I know it's what exactly you meant for me. And I know that's exactly where you want me to be and what you want me to learn. And I believe that is the most powerful thing that can come out of this.
Exactly.
Even more so than any kind of little thing that I can make a scenario out of.
So don't you think that this really comes back to trusting and believing God's promises?
Absolutely.
It comes back
to
know.
You have to have that foundation.
Right. You've got to know the promises. And even if you just have one, even if you just have the one that Pastor mm-hmm. just said, basically, and here's the gist of it in English language, God's going to work out even the bad stuff for good.
Right.
Because I love
him. There you go.
Because I love God, he's going to work out the bad for
right,
good.
Exactly.
No matter what it looks like to me, it's going to turn out good somehow, somewhere, someday, because something bad happened, but it's going to be good because I trust God and he tells me that that's the truth. Just
exactly.
like he said in 2 Chronicles, that don't be afraid. I'm going to bring your victory here. I'm going to bring you victory. And victory in your life means that something good happens, right? That's what we all know what
exactly.
victory is.
Mm-hmm.
So gratefulness is that relying and taking it to that deeper level is relying and believing in God's promises. So and the other part of this, we started talking about fear way back. And
yes.
I feel like we need to go back to
go
that
ahead.
For a minute.
Go ahead.
When we're talking about something deeper. In that song that we heard a little bit ago from Jeremy Camp, he said, I come alive when I see beyond my fears.
There
Amen.
You go.
And
Amen.
I mean, we know what it feels like to be dead with fear, right?
Right.
To be just so paralyzed with fear that we can't, or even if it's just stress and worry and we just, we're living in a daze because we're so full of worry in our life.
Yes.
But when you come alive, it's because you see beyond the fear.
Amen.
You see past it. And that's right. What God was having Jehoshaphat do in 2 Chronicles was look beyond the fear of these people coming to attack you, this horrible situation in your life. Look beyond that. Look at me and praise me and say thank you and mm-hmm. say thank you. And that's what we've got to do in those situations. And if I can take it a little bit further, little bit deeper, that, I mean, we can sit here and stand on the promises that God does love us and all of that, but doing it without even the strings attached that God is going to do something good in our life, but doing it just because he's a good God and that we love him, that's when you really are sold out to Christ. That's
Absolutely.
When you really are laying down your life for God is when you say, okay, it doesn't matter what in the world is going on around here. You're still good, God.
That's right.
You are still good. You're still faithful. You're still who you say you are. Mm-hmm. You never change. You're the same. Yesterday, today, and
Amen.
Tomorrow.
So we can be grateful.
And
for
I'm just going to be grateful for that.
Yes.
No matter what else, I'm going to be grateful for that because you're worth it.
Yeah, I heard someone talk about that once that said, you know, if God never did anything past send Jesus here and die on a cross for salvation,
right.
and never did anything else for us, never made a way through the wilderness, never gave us any other guidance, any other direction, if that's all his responsibilities were, he has done enough at that point,
Amen.
Thousands of years ago, for us to be grateful, filled up to the top and overflowing, besides all that he's still doing currently today. And the good news is he is an alive God that still wants a personal relationship with us
Amen.
At this very second. And he wants to hear from us right now. And he wants to do amazing things in the next few moments and later on tonight and tomorrow morning and overnight and so on and so forth. And that's way above what he would ever have to do to deserve as much thanksgiving we could offer to him, thankfulness and gratefulness that we could offer him for all that he's already given us.
Praise
God. Amazing. He is amazing.
And we're saying something very profound here today. Gratefulness is going to change your life.
Yes.
It is going to change your life. Don't go anywhere. We're not quite finished. We'll be right back.
I've heard all the stories. I've seen other signs. Witnessed all the glory, tasted all that's fine, but nothing compares to the greatness of knowing you, Lord. Oh no, but nothing compares to the greatness of knowing. I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. To the
Praise God. Nothing compares to you, Lord. He's so wonderful. God is doing some great things in our people in this day across the world. People are changing. I feel it. I just feel that God is getting a hold of people. And he's saying, there's more to this life than just living day by day. There's more than just going to work and whatever. There is an abundant life that you can live. You can change in so many areas. And this key that we're talking about today, and we're probably going to have to go on with it next week because we're not done with this topic about Thanksgiving and gratefulness. This is an absolute thing that will change your life when you get a hold of being grateful and what God is doing. We mentioned last week, and I'll mention it again right here, and then I'm going to bring Cricket and Kristen back in. We have a brand new book that I've written a few weeks ago, actually back in May, and it just got released, published a couple weeks ago, and it's called Living Large and Loving It, and it's talking about this very concept of living in the abundance of God in the different areas of our lives, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, financially, your physical healing in your body, and how you get along with other people. You can go to our website, you can order it, or you can come to Beacon of Hope and get one right there. And we would be happy for you to get a hold of these truths and get it down on the inside of you, living large and loving it. It's exciting what God is doing and changing our minds about things and causing us to understand concepts like this. There might be somebody out there right now, Cricket, that does not even understand where to begin to change their attitude and to change their life, you know, and to go in a different direction. They may not know where to begin. I believe with all my heart, and I know you do too, that the place to begin is with Jesus.
Yes.
And to accept him as their personal Savior.
Absolutely.
Do you want to talk about that? And then would you just lead us in a prayer, and Kristen and I will repeat after you.
I would
because
be
there may
to.
Be somebody out there that needs to accept Jesus
Absolutely.
Today for the first time.
And, you know, we make that a point of doing this at the end of every radio show, making sure that we offer up a prayer of salvation for anyone who is at that point of wanting to accept Jesus into their heart. They've heard enough to where they're curious enough to step into the life of living for Jesus and feel him start transforming their lives and helping them through the trials, because that's what we're truly meant for. Everyone out there that can hear my voice right now, you are meant to be in relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Of anything that you could ever question or doubt or wonder about, that is an absolute truth.
Yes.
There's no way around it. That is truth. You were designed to have Jesus live in your heart.
Amen.
It's not for your neighbor, and maybe not you, and maybe not the next neighbor, but it is for it's for everyone.
Amen.
He meant to be in relationship with all of us. So let's bow our heads.
Let's
do it. You are at that point that you want to accept Jesus into your heart, just repeat this prayer. It will change your life.
Amen.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
And that you overcame death and rose again.
And that you overcame death and rose again.
Jesus, forgive me.
Jesus, forgive me.
For absolutely everything I have ever done.
For absolutely everything I have ever done.
Not pleasing to you.
Not pleasing to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For loving me so much.
For loving me so much.
And I accept you as my Savior.
And I accept you as my Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
There you
Praise
go.
Praise God. All
Praise
right.
God.
So if they just prayed that prayer, Kristen, what do they need to do?
They need to rejoice and be grateful
exactly.
that they're saved,
yes.
that they have eternal life, and that they have a new life in front of them. They're a new creation. That's right
Amen.
Now in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And a place to begin.
That's
Find
right.
a good church. If you're in our area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope, Sundays at 11.